There are times where like people's perspectives on issues surprise you, and there are times where they don't. We're talking about an important topic about the relationship between the structured tefillah, which takes place part of Shacharis, Mincha, and Maariv in a shul, tefillah b'tzibur, and what is the more personalized tefillah, the personal bakashos that a person may have, their own sort of intimate and unique connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and the tefillah which comes out as a result. And we spoke last week about the Mahalach of the Netziv. And the Netziv's Mahalach, even if you knew nothing about the Netziv, other than the fact that he was Rosh Yeshiva Volozhin, there's a whole lot that was not surprising about his Mahalach. The Netziv maintained that the value and goal of structure tefillah is paramount, that all of individualized tefillah should be within a particular structure, ideally, that so many of the people that davened and davened effectively and well only did so as part of a regular structure tefillah. That's what Chana was doing when she was davening for a child. That's what Avram was doing when he was davening for Sodom. That's what Moshe had to do following Bnei Yisrael and Chet HaEgel. That people who were good at davening knew the Yisod. That the structured tefillah is the entranceway. That is the pathway through which a person can daven for their own personalized needs, for that which they actually require. That much we spoke about last week as far as different comments of Targum Unkelis and the relationship between different Gemaras, and how exactly the Netziv is able to fit everything together. We're speaking this week about Rabbi Nachman. If the Netziv was the one that valued more than anything structured tefillah, and a davening which can exist through structured tefillah, so it doesn't have to be, if we were just guessing or intuiting where Rabbi Nachman would fall out, so Rabbi Nachman is going to be highlighting a particular worldview in which there's an element of tefillah which needs to be highly personalized, an element of tefillah which needs to take place outside the context of just Shacharis, Mincha, and Maariv, and that sometimes a person that wants to develop a connection to davening, dafka it comes from, and sometimes the highest level of tefillah is one that is not just the tefillah of the sitter, but also the individualized sitter. But as you referenced last week in the beginning, this is a struggle that many people have, because davening is set and structured. And that sometimes it can feel a little bit like something is almost missing. It can feel a little bit as part of that tefillah, that there's something that, because it's so set, it's hard to connect to. And while there are those who highlight the power of tefillah b'tzibur and what it can do for us if you're connected to it, there are those who understand that there has to be a little bit of chiddush and a little bit of individuality and this capacity to understand the tefillah of the individual outside the context of just regular formal tefillah. So we're going to speak about the Mesorah of Breslov, at least this week, and elements of it. And we'll try to build from there, but the goal is not only to give us a little bit of insight to davening, but hopefully a little bit of insight in terms of what could be potentially beneficial. Let's begin like this. Binachman and Likutei Eitzot is a collection of Torah based on Binachman, different topics. And Likutei Eitzot and Tefillah and Os Pei Zayin. Iker Aschabras Udvegas Hashem Yisbarachu Al Yedei HaTefillah. In particular, we know by many of the Hasidim that many of the Hasidim value Tefillah to a very great extent and understand that the primary way in which a person develops a connection to Ribbono Shel Olam is dafka through Tefillah. Ki HaTefillah Hi Sha'ar SheDerech Sham Nichnasin LaHashem Yisbarach. Tefillah is the gateway that through Tefillah a person can enter and can cultivate a relationship with Ribbono Shel Olam. Which means that if we are going to explore the world of davening, davening is chashuv not only because of what it is, but what it opens. Tefillah is chashuv, but tefillah is chashuv because derech tefillah, a person cultivates a relationship with Ribbono Shel Olam. Now, even though we're going to focus on the individualized tefillah outside of shul, and outside of tefillah b'tzibor, none of us should make the mistake of assuming that tefillah b'tzibor and in Beis HaKnesset isn't incredibly chashuv. That may even be the primary form of tefillah. In Likutei Halachos, the Torah of Rav Nassim, where Rav Nassim, like Al-Seder Shulchan Aruch, Al-Seder Halachas, speaks about ideas Al-Derech Pnimiyas HaTorah. So Rav Nassim there, Likutei Halachos, in the beginning of Halachos Beis HaKnesses, comments, Ki Beis HaTefillah Nikra Beis HaKnesses, Ki Shisham Miskansin Kol Nefashos Al-Yedei HaTefillahs Mispalim Sham. That there is something unique about the capacity to daven dafka in a shul. Dafka in a shul. V'al Kain says, Rav Nassim there, the primary davening which takes place, the primary tefillah which exists, is one that exists inside a shul and one that exists as tefillah b'tzibur. That the primary, the best way to daven, again, this is all part of the Hakdama, is to daven when you are part of a minyan. To daven when you are in a shul, because then my tefillah becomes not my individual tefillah, but I become part of, I become united with the tefillahs of Klal Yisrael, and then as olin el hakedusha, ki hakedusha hu echad. Holiness is always that which is more singular. The more that things are spread out, the more that they are bifurcated, the less kedusha is present, and the more that things are united, the more that there is kedusha. The Ribono Shel Olam ata echad u'shimcha echad. We are goy echad ba'aretz. The more that we are singular, the more that there is kedusha, and that's part of why Rashi knows that the Shiv Nefas was a Beis Yaakov, Yaakov Avinu. His all those that come down, they're coming down to Kula Nikra and Nefesh Echad. They're all one. They're all one soul, and therefore that's why we have the practice of the Arizal. The Arizal taught us. Rabbi Nachman taught also that prior to davening, what does a person do when they daven Tefillah B'Tzibur? When a person daven Shacharis, the Ahavta L'Recha Kamocha, the Mekabel upon themselves to connect to others. Because davening in the Iker Tefillah, the most effective form of Tefillah, certainly is the structured Tefillah that takes place in Shul. That is the best place to do it. That is in many ways, an amazing way to be able to daven. It's represented Dafka by Yaakov Avinu. We're not going to speak about that much right now. But there's something very, very important about that. And Rav Nachman explained as part of the halacha of V'yalkein, Yachol Ko Echad Lachav Eschavero, Liv Nos Beis HaKnesses. As part of why in halacha, communities are able to force a tax to have others contribute to the construction of a shul. Because of the paramount importance of a shul, and a shul which is built through communal funds. Because then we're able to come together and to daven in the way that we are supposed to. But today we're going to focus on a different element of tefillah in Rabbi Nachman. Today we're going to focus on an element of tefillah in Rabbi Nachman about the individual's kind of tefillah. A tefillah of a yachid, which is going to be massively important. And we're going to begin by speaking about the world of his bodedus. The world of his bodedus is the world of tefillah which exists when a person is bodeid, when a person is alone, when a person is not surrounded by others. A tefillah which can be transformative, not when there are other people around and not when it's a tefillah b'tzibur. Important as, ikar as, tefillah b'tzibur is, so is being able to daven when you are not just part of a tzibur. Says Rabbi Nachman as follows. We're going to begin with a piece in Likutei Moran Tinyana and Simen Chafhei. It's a very important, well-known Torah, Rabbi Nachman. Let's learn it together a little bit. It's so beautiful. Sometimes the ultimate level is a person who is able to engage Rabbi Nachman refers to as his bodedus. To have a particular amount of time established. To be able to go into a room, to go into a field where you are alone. And what am I doing? You are just communicating with Ribbono Shel Olam. What am I talking about? What am I saying? What takes place when a person's alone there? That sometimes I come with tainas, I can come with complaints, I can come with amas, with excuses, I can come with nice comments, I can come with comments of appeasement, of trying to become even better. I can come levakish ulischanim milufan of Yisparach sheikar ve'elav avodaso be'emes. I can daven to Hashem to cultivate, to strengthen my commitment to Him. V'tfila v'sichazo. This davening, says Rabbi Nachman, it has to be yihyeh b'lashon Hashem medabrim bo. Hanu b'lashon Ashkenaz. It has to be in the language in which you speak, in your mother tongue. This is not the time. The tfila b'tzibor we have is a tfila which exists with words established, the Anjei Knesset HaGedolah, and that is holy and that is great, and that's how a person becomes part of something. But you have to be able to daven Rabbi Nachman sometimes, alone in the room, speaking to Ribbono Shel Olam, in your own mother tongue. In Hebrew, even if you know Hebrew, we can't articulate things the same way we do in our mother tongue. When you speak in Hebrew sometimes, it's hard to really have it be a reflection of where you are emotionally. Because we're thinking too much about what the words are supposed to be. And if a person davens in their mother tongue, and you just start speaking a little bit, the way that you talk normally in your own language. So at that point in time, you'll be able to develop something much, much more powerful. It's kal v'karv yoser, l'shaber libo. It's easier to open up a little bit. Imagine a very emotional conversation taking place. A person is zocha, they're going out with a girl, and it's a very, very serious conversation. It's a conversation where he's trying to. It's like in that point of time when you're dating. And a person is dating, and they're at this point in time where it's right before they're going to have the conversation. He's setting up to be able to tell her that he is ready to get married. He's at that point in time. And it's a little bit of a setup. He thinks a bit about how he's going to communicate that particular point, because you only get to say it, we hope, once, you know, that you're ready. And you're waiting to see how she's going to respond. And you know that if you're going to structure that comment, it has to be one thing. It has to be heartfelt. It can't seem that you're distant from your emotions at that moment. It can't seem. You can be the most Zionistic person in the world. You really can. But there's no way that communicating it in Hebrew is the way to go. You know, you could be feeling it with a lot of time in Mosheva. You grew up in Bnei Akiva. What it would be better than potentially coming along and telling this girl that I'm in love with her and I want to marry her than doing it in Lashna Kodesh? You know, what is she looking for other than a guy that would do such a thing? So I'm certainly sympathetic to it. I understand why a person would want to do so. But I know that when I was having that conversation with my wife, I went for my mother tongue. Because if it's going to be emotional, and if it's going to be something in which you want to describe where you're really at, nothing does that like your mother tongue. And nothing does that. And the same thing, again, we'll keep the muscle going for a moment. You would never want to have that conversation with her in the same room as all of your friends. Even if they can't hear what is going on, but if they know what's going on, it's not going to be the most comfortable zone in the world, because the nature of mankind is that we're somewhat conscious of what others are thinking around us. We try to grow and move beyond that. We really do. But if I can create the context where I need not move beyond that, that's even better. So if I was sitting in a room, imagine I'm there, and you know the conversation is about me, my wife, and in a deep emotional conversation, even if it's not that conversation, but the deep emotional conversation, I don't think I want all of you around watching. I just don't think I do. Not because, God forbid, there's raising of voices and throwing things. Because there's something about that that just, if it gets more emotional, describing where I'm at, I just don't want you there. I just don't want that to be present in that kind of a way. There's a hisbodedus, there's an aloneness, that if I'm in a room alone, if I'm walking in a field, I'm going for a walk, and Baruch Hashem, we are situated in a place where there are places to go that can be, it's a beautiful area, and you can walk around sometimes, out, and to be able to communicate. So at that point in time, with whatever you're looking for, I can have that conversation. Rabbanu Shalom, I want to be a little bit closer, and I messed up with this. And Rabbanu Shalom, you know what? This is really hard for me. It's really hard for me. And I know I mess up sometimes, and I'm sort of trying, and I'm sort of not trying. And you're just having that kind of a conversation. Says Rabbi Nachman, you have to understand that sometimes these conversations are not always the easiest. Sometimes it's hard, it's emotional. And don't you say, Rabbi Nachman, mitzvah gedol lios b'simcha tamid? And how are these conversations really part of simcha? So he says, no, shar hayom yiyeh b'simcha kanal. The rest of the day, you'll be really happy. These conversations, they're more emotional, and they can sometimes be a little bit challenging. Okay. But the rest of the day is infused with a kind of simcha, which can uplift me. Van hagazah hu gedola b'mayla ma'od ma'od, hu derech eitza tova ma'od l'skari v'lav yisparach, ki zoi eitza kolio, shekol hakol, ki hakol ma'asha yechshalo b'avorz Hashem, that wherever distant I am and whatever I need, I can just start communicating with Rabbanu Sha'olam. It's an amazing thing. Rabbi Nachman says, Vida, Shekama Vekama Tzadikim, Gedolim, Miforsamim, Sipru. Many famous Tzadikim said, Shelo Ba'u L'Madregasam. It's one of these lines that, it's a great like line that Tzadikim have sometimes. I only reached my level because of Torah. I only reached my level because of Mikvah. I only reach my level because of it's a chash of a line, because it gives you insight. We spoke about this on Amoti Tzom Gedalia, that I'm sorry again for the mashal, but the same way that when it comes to drug usage, there's like gateway drugs, that some drugs, like those are the kinds of drugs that lead you to do even worse things. So we speak sometime about the phenomenon of gateway mitzvos, of mitzvos that open up a world and lead you to more and more mitzvos. That derech agav is in the world of kirov, one of the more insightful things that the people involved in Kiruv engage in, identifying what are the gateway mitzvos. What are the mitzvos that derech, those mitzvos, people are likely to be able to come closer, be able to come closer. So in Chabad, there's a lot of Torah the Rebbe spoke about as far as why the mitzvah of tefillin, why the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, why the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos, why those mitzvahs are valuable for bringing people in a little bit. And in different worlds, they have their own take. Says Rabbi Nachman, many tzaddikim, gedolim u'miforsamim said that they reached their madrega, their entrance point, what allowed them to reach the levels that they reached, rak al yedei hanhagazah, was because they were able to cultivate a relationship with Ribbono Shel Olam, which was one in which they communicated in their mother tongue, alone, openly, and emotionally. That they were able to do so, that they were able to do so in a way which was remarkably, remarkably powerful, in a way which can be very holy. Likutei Maharan in Torah Reishon and Tes, Rabbi Nachman writes as follows: Kisha Adam is bodied in Mefarash Yichas of a Tzara Lefan of Yisparach. When a person davens to Ribbono Shel Olam, when a person opens up to Ribbono Shel Olam, umisvade umischarid al godol hapegamim sa'asa. And part of what you do is you realize, oh my God, I messed up. Sometimes in life you say a comment sometimes which you didn't know was going to be taken a certain kind of a way. You meant it as a joke, and the person got deeply offended, and at that point, it's hard to back down, hard to get it. And you really did something terrible. Or a person in their own avod that does something which can be very, very hard. Azai, when you do that in front of Ribbono Shel Olam, gam hashchina kenegdo, mifarashus lefanav sichasa b'tzara u'minachemes imo. And the Ribbono Shel Olam also mitzarev with you and offers you comfort. When a person is open with Ribbono Shel Olam about what's so hard for them, so Hashem Yisbarach comes to be menachem. And in many ways, this can be something which is important. But it's important, Rabbi Nachman writes, Kuti Maran and Torah Nun Beis, it's important that a person has a place which is a makom miyuchad, a place which is a place where other people are not present, that you go to, and that's your place. The makom she'en holchon sham b'nei adam. It's my location, it's my place. Because you know what happens? If it's a place that other people go to, so it messes with me a little bit. It causes bilbulim. It causes challenges. It makes it more difficult. But if you're going to a place where other people aren't found, if you're going to a place where nobody else is, so then, and it's a place which I associate with. I think in the world of meditation, someone can correct me if I'm wrong or not, but I think in a world of meditation, so one of the Torahs is about how to learn how to meditate in all contexts, but often it's understood that the environment itself plays a particular role. Think of Dov Zinger in his book on Tefillah, speaks a lot about that being part of the value of a makom kavua and a tefillah, which is an amida, that you get into a certain mind frame, and it's the same place that you go to, and you get the same sort of posture, and you're located somewhere that helps channel a certain kind of a focus. If I go to the same place to engage in his bodhidus, I go to a place, and I talk to Ribbono Shel Olam for a bit of time every day. It builds a certain kind of connection, and a connection which is truly, truly remarkable, and which is very, very powerful. There's another step in the Torah of Rabbi Nachman, which is a very, very powerful one, and it's one which I think is rarely done, and Rabbi Nachman understands it is reflective of a very high madrega in tefillah. Rabbi Nachman spoke, it's in the Likutei Maharan, Tinyana, and Chafhei in that same piece, about the following line, and listen to the line. We know that there are, let's give a little bit of background, we know that there is a world of Torah and there is a world of tefillah. We know the Gemara in Shabbos already speaks about the relationship between the world of Torah and the world of tefillah. We know that on the one hand, they really seem to be different. The world of Torah is a world which is often more intellectual. It requires us to cultivate certain skills to be good in learning. And the world of tefillah requires us to cultivate a different set of skills. A set of skills which is more emotional, a capacity to daven, lefarish, shichaso, lefan of yisparach, to be able to cultivate a certain sense of connection, that there is an ability, that Torah requires something else and something different. That's why, Derech Agav, there's a phenomenon that we know of. It's not like you could look at a guy in Morning Seder and see how good he is in learning and predict based on that, oh, wow, he's that good in learning, he's probably also that good at davening. And a guy that struggles in morning Seder, you wouldn't say, oh, but it must be he struggles in tefillah also. Sometimes the opposite is the case. The guy that learns a lot and he's really good intellectually has a harder time learning, has a harder time davening, because there's a certain skill set that hasn't been cultivated. And a person that is really, really, maybe not as good in learning, has a harder time intellectually, but spiritually he's there. Would you ever predict that the guys who are best in learning are the most into a kumzitz? There's no prediction. It could be yes, it could be no. You couldn't say for sure it would be that way. There are different skill sets in so many ways. But we also know that a person, that they share something in common, which is a sense of dveikus and shaychus to Ribbono Shel Olam. That Talmud Torah is the closest a person could be to Hashem Yisbarach. And tefillah is defined by Amida Lifnei Hashem. That tefillah is me in the presence of Ribbono Shel Olam. They both reflect a kind of dveikus. And we know the connection is stronger because we know there's an idea of tefillah in the place that you learn. Tefillah in a Beis Medrash is a different form of tefillah. That sometimes also the Gemara tells us in Brachos that the ideal form of davening sometimes comes after learning a halacha psuka. Sometimes learning a bit and then transferring it to davening, that those two are very much linked. And many Bali Machshava talk about the relationship between Torah and tefillah. Chai olam chai sha'a, the differences between them, but also how to merge them. In what way are they similar? Rabbi Nachman has a chiddush. It's a chiddush which is very, very famous. It's a chiddush which is very, very famous. And it's one that is very important. And it says Rabbi Nachman in Likutei Moharan, Tzion Simen Chaf Hei, V'ayidei zeh yavo l'mayla gedola ashrei sheyochaz bazeh. It's important to learn how to daven on your own. But there's one step beyond that. Gam tov la'asos mehatora tefillah. Says Rabbi Nachman that there is a madrega in which a person makes tefillahs out of their Torahs. What does that mean? Dehainu. Kishalomido shermeya ezer maimer Torah mitzadik ha'emes. If you hear something which is a really good Torah, you hear something which is a Torah, as a yaseh mizet tefillah. So write a tefillah out of that Torah. Make a tefillah which comes out of the Torah which you heard. Dehainu levakish uluschani lefonim isbarach al kol masha ne'emar shalit ba'oso ha'maimer. Matai yizke gam hu lavo l'chol zeh. That I can daven, I heard a shmuz, I heard a shir, and I can write a tefillah as the result of that shir. I can take the Torah I learned, and I can make a tefillah out of it. And as many of us know, it was a project engaged in by Rabbi Nachman's greatest student, by Rabbi Nassan. Rabbi Nassan was a sefer called Likutei Tefillos, which is based on what Rabbi Nachman taught Likutei Moharan. Is to take the Torahs of Rabbi Nachman and to frame them into tefillos, to daven that I be zoche to reach a madrega. So, as an example, Likutei Tefillos Beis Yud Aleph is a Torah that Rabbi Nassan wrote after hearing Rabbi Nachman on his bodedus. He heard a Torah about a certain kind of davening. So Rabbi Nassan sat down and he wrote a tefillah. The tefillah is found. He wrote lechadodi neitei asada. Nalina b'kfarim, nashkim l'kramim, Ribbono Shel Olam, zakeni l'harbos, b'zbonedus tamid, v'eskei liyos ragil latit b'chol yom, v'sad b'in l'azov, v'asav b'chol z'yachsad, Ribbono Shel Olam, can you please allow me, can you please help me to be able to engage in this form of independent tefillah? Hashem, can you help me be able to do so? V'sham eskei lizbodi l'harbos b'sikha zot tefillah b'nil v'nkoni. Can you help me be able to be zocha, to go to a place where I can daven and daven well and daven properly? Lasuach sham kol asher im levavi. To be able to help me be the kind of person that is comfortable enough to open up about the way in which we feel. That is comfortable enough, that is able to be cognizant of, to open up emotionally and to daven a little bit. That let me be able to get chizuk from the environment that I'm in. I'm in a place to get chizuk from that environment, to be able to daven as well as possible. Ulefanecha eshbuch kol sichi ad sheeske. Hashem, can you please help me be that kind of person that is able to do it? Can you please help me be that kind of person that's able to reach that madrega? Is there a way that you could?
Rabbi Nachman says, you know who nailed this? You know who is the ultimate person who was able to make their Torahs into tefillahs? That is the Mesorah, the Kuti Halachos, and Archaim Hilchos, a Rubi Tchumen.
Rabbi Nachman says, in Rabbi Nachman writes, who was the person that was really able to do this? That is the Mesorah of David HaMelech. That David HaMelech, when he wrote his Sefer of Tehillim, that David HaMelech, who writes so beautifully and so powerfully, often about Torah, often about relationships, he was able to take the Torah he learned and to move that and transition that into tefillah. Rabbi Nachman writes there, Rabbi Nachman writes, sorry, the Kuti Halachos, that the Avos, Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, so much of their legacy was a legacy of tefillah, Avram, the Gemara and Brachos, Shachris, Yitzchak, Mincha, Yaakov, and Mariv, that they tried so hard to be able to do this. But you know what? Ach, but tefillah, when it came to the Avos, lo hayu yicholim adayim, they were not yet able, lizkos lazeh b'shleimus, lasos b'torah tefillah. The Avos were not on this madrega, we'll see why in a second, or they weren't able to take Torah and make it into tefillahs, mach mashadayim lohaya Torah ba'olam. Because there wasn't Torah enough in the world yet, bizman the Avos. There wasn't yet a matan Torah. There wasn't the same kind of Torah. They weren't able to. So v'huchrichu la'asok b'tefillah harbe, kol ha'avos ad Moshe. They had to work so much in davening because they were playing shorthanded. They didn't have the Torah to make into a tefillah. They weren't hearing the same kind of Torah to be able to make into a davening. They had to do this. They had to do it until Moshe Rabbeinu was the one that could. But he says, V'alkein, who hiskel, it was David HaMelech, who hiskel over zehaderech, la'asos me'atoris tefilo, so zehu b'chinas tehillim. The David HaMelech, what is tehillim? Tehillim are the individual tefilos of David HaMelech. He wrote prayers, and he wrote prayers based on Torahs that he heard. That's what he was able to do. That's what he was cognizant of. That was a koach of what a David HaMelech was able to do. But imagine, let's go one step forward. Imagine the following. Imagine the following. I want to just take this a little bit to us, a little bit to us. There is a theory. It's not that big of a. You ever hear? We'll rant for just a moment. There's that line that comes out there. You know, it's ridiculous. There's something called Mother's Day or Father's Day. It's ridiculous. There's something called an anniversary. Right? Shouldn't every day be Mother's Day or Father's Day? Shouldn't every day be the anniversary? It's a. Why is that comment so ridiculous? It's an absurd comment. Of course a person should be nice every day. Of course a couple should have a nice relationship every day. But why is there something called Mother's Day and why is there something called Father's Day? Same reason there's one day called Matan Torah called Shavuos. Same way that there's one day called Yetzias Mitzrayim. That sometimes there are values which are always true, But we need a reminder once in a while of just how important they are. Why is there something called Shavuos? Shouldn't every day be Kabbalah Satorah? Every day is Kabbalah Satorah. But you have to have one day focused on it more than the others. And that one day infuses, that one day impacts. I could quote sometimes from the Tzfas Emes, that Shalosh Pa'amim B'Shana, the Regalim are three times a year. Tzfas Emes says, Pa'amim Milashon Pa'amon. They're like a bell that reverberates. That when you hear it and you ring, it continues to reverberate afterwards. And there's something about a yontif that inspires. So Kabbalah Satorah is one day a year. It's one day a year. And you ring that bell. But it's supposed to impact the rest of the year the same way. Anniversary is a great time for a couple to be able to go out, for a couple to spend time together. It shouldn't be the only time they go out. It shouldn't be maybe it's whatever. But sometimes going away and having that time alone, it's a time which is able to impact beyond. It's a time which is important above and beyond. There are a lot of things in life that are like that. That there are particular events where we celebrate and highlight particular ideas and themes and they impact the whole year. I quote the times from Rosenzweig, it's the idea about Moedim also, that Yom Kippur can be the most unique day of the year, but also the most relevant day of the year. It's the most unique day of the year. We never, otherwise, do we not eat, drink in that kind of a holy kind of a way. But it's supposed to reverberate and highlight certain values of Kulul Hashem, of a relationship with Ribbono Sha'olam. So tefillah is the same thing. And a relationship with Ribbono Sha'olam is the same way. It's the same way. If we don't have those days, if we don't have those opportunities in which you are highlighting more intensely, in which you're highlighting more intensely what is taking place, so you know what's going to happen? You won't have the relationship the same way. And his bodedus, in many ways, is about having that time, which is a short time of the day, but it transforms the whole relationship. Because if you're used to being able to open to Ribbono Shel Olam, he's part of your life, so then he's part of your life. Then he's part of your life. And he's with you a little bit. I quote the Maisa sometimes about my grandmother. I think I said this Maisa, you know, recently, by going to the pharmacy from a bunch of years ago. I said, oh, recently? My grandmother's an actually holy person. About, you know, says the Hillam a lot, and walking with her years ago, well, we'll have to reference it very briefly, walking with her to the pharmacy in Lakewood years ago, and I said, Bobby, she was already in her 80s at the time. I said, Bobby, you know, when you go to the pharmacy, do you usually go by your, usually you go alone? So she said, no, Hashem's always with me. Not in like a matter of factly. She really feels that Hashem is with her. But that comes because she's a person, she's a lot of Tehillim. She's a person that has her opportunities to be able to cultivate a relationship. And a person who engages in it, his doesn't need to be only for Breslov. There's something healthy that a person sometimes being alone and being able to speak to Ribbono Shel Olam, it can be important. The Netziv said the Iker Tefillah is a Tefillah B'Tzibor. Well, so do Reb Nassim in Likutei Halachos, that the Iker Tefillah is that. But they both agree that there can be a Tefillah outside also. Reb Nachum believes sometimes that cultivating that transforms a relationship. But not only a relationship between you and Hashem, but it allows us to be better. We all hear Sichos Mussars. We all hear Sichos Mussars. So as aspiring people, if we're sitting in a shir, let's say on a Friday morning, or we're sitting in a shmuz on a Thursday night, so of course we're taking notes. Because we're people that aspire to not sit in a room and then have it go in one ear and out the other. No one's a kind of balgaiva that assumes they can be in a room and remember all details later on. Who would ever presume that you could understand in the Mahal from the Tziv about tefillah and Rina and tefillah, b'charvi u'b'kashi, and be able to remember how that all works out? None of us could. That's why we all take notes on a Friday morning. That's why we all take notes at a Sichos Mussar. Because we're the kinds of people that are aspiring for something more. But Rabbi Nachman says, of course we're on that madrega. Of course we are. Come on. But there's another madrega, says Rabbi Nachman, which is the madrega above. Not the notes you take during the shir. The notes you take afterwards. I heard a great shmooze last night. What was the topic last night?
Shoes.
Amazing. The topic is about shoes. Okay, that's what we're here for. I wasn't even there, but I get the Parsha connection. But it's a topic about clothing, let's say, as an example. And I heard it. So now I walked out. I have some great Torah on shoes. You know, I remember, when I was Shana Bet, there's a guy, Shana Alpha at the time, is now a very, very well-known person. I remember he had a lot of, he would have these note cards whenever he would hear things, and he would have notes. I remember he had a lot of Torah on shoes, that he would have of organ as he heard things. He had notes. He's a very, very well-known person. There is a, there's something about, I heard that shmooze. So aside from the notes during, I sit down for a couple minutes afterwards. La'asos mehatorah tefillah. And a person davens. A person davens and they write a tefillah. It is not the craziest thing in the world to do. I heard a shmooze about something. I daven, Ribbono Shel Olam, can you please, even for 45 seconds, can you please help me be able to internalize the value of the way that I dress? That how it can uplift me, that how I can make sure that it's not being too ostentatious or I'm not too materialistic, but I'm also put together, whatever your, you know, zone is, you know that line of like put together, but not too, you know, whatever it is for you. But to be able to articulate that and utter a tefillah, to write a tefillah, it transforms your Torah. It transforms your tefillah. Derech Agav, it's an unbelievable form of chazara because you're going over it then and you're formulating it that way. But it's that step after. The step after that shmooze and after that shir, to actually elevate it, to actually become a little bit different, and be able to use that well and cultivate it in a holy kind of a way. Fixed tefillah, personal tefillah. The two, it can transform the other. It can transform a person who has more of a relationship, so you can see how the fixed tefillah is really very real. But Moshe Wolfson has a mashal, with this mashal we'll end for a moment. Well, I guess we'll end. Stop. Rav Moshe Wolf says a mashal. He says, you know, a person who really gets used to the sitter and the fixed tefillah, there's nothing as good as that. And a person who does, if you daven by him and immerse Yisrael, you can see this. that is a place of such fervor and excitement over the sitter, over the sitter. He says, what's it like? What's it like? The davening with the sitter is sort of like drinking a very fine wine. Person who is at a particular kind of a madrega, they're a bit of a lower level kind of a thing. Yet you have a kid whose palate is not sufficiently developed, and you give them some, you know, a very fancy dry red wine, and they drink it and say, oh, this is gross. I don't like this that much. I don't connect so much to it. But a person who's more developed, a person who is more capable, a person that's trained their palate to be able to taste what is really a very, very fine wine, when they taste it, they say, this is unbelievable. And they would never say, oh my God, I can't believe it. What an experience. But part of what it means to be able to experience that fifth tefillah, to make it ikar tefillah, nothing spoke about, is to be able to be the kind of person that can experience and can enjoy a sitter. To be the kind of person that cultivates enough of a relationship with Hashem Yisbarach that you become the kind of person that isn't like giving fine wine to a four-year-old, but giving fine wine to a wine connoisseur, or what's the actual word for a wine pairer? There's a person who can pair wine, what's it called? Yes, very, very good. That there is that capacity to reach that higher level, madrega. And the Baruch Shalom should bless us that both in the world of fixed fila and non-fixed fila, that we be able to internalize that and be able to grow and develop to daven as well as possible. Have a wonderful Shabbos.